Hi, and welcome to Filled with His Love. Last week, I shared my dad's experience in World War II. Kind of bleak, a little bit difficult to listen to, probably. This week, I want to describe what happened to my dad when he returned from Okinawa and got back to normal life. Some of the insights I will share have only recently come to light for me. I did not see firsthand how my dad adjusted to post-war life because I had not yet been born when he got back from Okinawa. But I've had a lifetime now to reflect on what I did observe as I grew up, and some of my reflections have been so unexpected. As a young boy, I thought nothing of my dad's close friendship with Skip Tabata, a Japanese co-worker at Strong Motor Company. I've talked about this before in other podcasts, but I want to talk about it again because it just is so important to me. Children don't realize, and they don't really notice race or ethnicity. But as I grew up, I began thinking of the unlikely alliance between my dad and Skip. Skip was almost like a member of our family. He and his family stayed close to our family throughout our lives. They knew I was attending BYU. They followed my career. They kept in close communication. They were our close friends. As I reread my dad's war letters that I shared in the last podcast, I couldn't help but notice that he used the derogatory term for Japanese soldiers. I changed that word to enemies because the term is so racially charged. But my dad did use it because everyone around him, all his soldier comrades, were using it. So he witnessed Japanese soldiers killing his foxhole buddy. He used to recount how he had to stay in his foxhole and watch another of his fellow soldiers die on the field right in front of him, because the medics couldn't reach him. He could have developed a lifelong hatred toward the Japanese people, but he didn't. When he returned, he could not resume his former employment because it required heavy lifting, and he had that back injury that I mentioned, so he couldn't go back to that job. So he got a job as a car mechanic at Strong Motor. As far as I can tell, he struck up a friendship almost instantly with Skip Tabata. Skip was a Japanese-American. He had not fought in the war, of course, because he was forced with his family to stay with 8,100 other Japanese-Americans in the Topaz internment camp located close to Delta, Utah. So these internment camps were much like being incarcerated. Japanese-Americans were suspect simply because of their race. They were considered by the American government as the enemy, even though they were American citizens. And they were not enemies, of course. It's hard for us now to believe all of this happened, but it did. So Skip might have built up a deep resentment toward the government and toward Americans in general. But he didn't. In early 1946, Skip and my dad met each other at work and became lifelong friends. One of the most unlikely friendships I have ever seen. Only months before they met, this is months, just a few months before they met, my dad was being shot at by Japanese soldiers, and he was shooting back at them. And Skip, just a few months before, had been locked up for years in a prison-like camp for no real good reason at all. On the surface, Skip and my dad had nothing in common. Not their race, their ethnicity, their background, their religion. Nothing. But they somehow found a connection that lasted throughout their lives. Only recently have I thought about Dad's friendships with other co-workers. Strong Motor became one of the first dealers in the Mountain West to market Volkswagens. Before that, the dealership sold Hudsons, which I'm sure nobody remembers. I remember Hudsons when I was a little kid. But Hudsons stopped production in the 50s. And this was only a few years after the end of World War II. At that time, Volkswagen Corporation had no plants in North America. They were building all of their vehicles in Germany. And I believe it was for that reason the Strong Motor Company hired a number of Germans. They needed people who knew the German machinery, the German automobile. So looking back now, Strong Motor took quite a risk when they switched to selling Volkswagen cars. In 1953, Volkswagen sold a grand total of about 1,000 vehicles in the United States. That's almost nothing. By 1959, that number rose to nearly 85,000. And at that point, the VW Beetle became a part of American life, American culture. So I thought nothing of all this when I was growing up. My first car at the age of 15 and a half, because I got my license as soon as I could back then, was a black 1958 VW Beetle. And my next car, after my mission, was a used 1960 Karmann Ghia. This was a sleek little sports car made by Volkswagen. When I got in it, I could hardly fit in it. I was too tall, in a sense, for it. Every time I went over a bump, my head hit the roof in this car, but I really liked this car. Here's the interesting part of all this. Some of Dad's closest friends were Germans who worked alongside him at Strong Motor. So only a short time after the world had been turned upside down by Hitler and by Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor, my dad formed his closest friendships with those who had only recently been our country's enemies. What does my dad's experience say about our own approach to human relationships? For me, it's quite simple. We can love everyone, even those with whom we have little in common, even those who may once have been considered enemies. That was the message Jesus preached when he was here on the earth. Love everyone, even those who are racially or ethnically different, even those who may be considered enemies. I don't think my dad ever thought of his friendships in that way, but I look back now, and he was living what Jesus taught. He even adopted a German phrase. I've mentioned this before, probably. He used to say quite often, "Oh, mein Himmel," when he was upset. And I used to think that he was kind of softening and using the German phrase so that he wouldn't say, "Oh, my hell," so that he wouldn't profane. I thought he didn't want me to hear him profaning, but I looked it up, and it doesn't mean, "Oh, my hell." It means, "Oh, my heavens," or "Oh, my gosh." It was a phrase his German workers used, and he adopted it. He loved his German friends, and they loved him. And his best friend was Japanese. President Nelson has been trying to teach us what Jesus taught the Jews and Samaritans and the Gentiles 2 millennia ago. Love everyone. But the messages of prophets and even the Son of God are so often ignored. So as the war between Israel and Hamas heated up, hate crimes against Jews and Muslims increased in America recently. It's almost as if people can't resist taking sides. We so often see each other as friends or enemies. But we are all humans, children of the same God, with the same hopes, dreams, and desires. The Christmas season should be a time when we can put differences behind us and embrace one another as my dad embraced Skip and his German friends. Christmas commemorates the birth of universal love. The gospel that Mary's baby brought to earth is a gospel of acceptance, gospel of peace, a gospel of love. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no room for discrimination, as President Nelson has taught us. No room for prejudice or hate, only love. So this Christmas, I hope if we are at odds with someone, we should love. We can put differences behind us and move on. That's what my dad did. That's what Skip did. That's what my dad's German friends did. So we should all be able to do that too. I hope you have a magnificent Christmas season. We'll see you next time.